I remember when I went to college. Now, I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home, but I remember when I went to college that, man, I just got loose, like the wine-drinking goose, right? I mean, it was just crazy. There's no restraints, right? No accountability. Nobody telling you to come home at a certain hour. Nobody making sure that you did this or making sure that you did that. That when I went to college, I just kind of lost all restraints. And what was the thing that I was looking at? I was looking at distance. That, you know, I no longer had that up close and personal accountability.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Doing the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of indicators you are doing something not in the will of God.
From what God has for your life. And then Tarshish represents distance. What was Jonah trying to do? It says that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He was trying to get as far away from the will of God as possible. You know, I often think, and you know, I could put this off on the young people, right? But I was young once, so I'm gonna put it off on Pastor Glaze and say, I remember when I went to college. Now, I didn't necessarily grow up in a Christian home, but I remember when I went to college that, man, I just got loose, like the wine-drinking goose. Right? I mean, it was just crazy. There's no restraints, right? No accountability. Nobody telling you to come home at a certain hour. Nobody making sure that you did this or making sure that you did that. That when I went to college, I just kind of lost all restraints. And what was the thing that I was looking at? I was looking at distance. That, you know, I no longer had that up close and personal accountability. And so you think of a young person going off to college. So again, I'm not coming down on the young people because I'm putting Pastor Glaze right there with y'all, right? That, you know, it represents a distance from what? Distance from the guidelines of the home. Distance from the rules of the home. Distance from the disciplines of the home. And then you try to get away from that. And that's what Jonah, that's what Tarshish represents. It represents defiance to the will of God. It represents deviation from the will of God. And it represents distance from the will of God. So, are you in Tarshish right now? Do you find yourself in Tarshish? Do you find yourself involved in something that is not in line with the plan and the purpose of God? Do you find yourself doing something that's not in the will of God, that's not in the word of God, doesn't line up with the word of God? And so we see that this might be a strong indicator that you might not be in God's will. If you find yourself in Tarshish right now, you have to ask yourself that question. And Tarshish is for people. It's just not for a certain group of people. Tarshish is for people of every age. You maybe you've had to make some major decisions in your life. Decisions that will affect your life. Have you made those decisions in the will of God? Have you made those decisions based on the word of God? Have you made those decisions saying, Lord, even though I'm going to a brutal people where they cut people's heads off, where they burn people alive, where they flay people's skin right off of their body while they're alive. Lord, even though I'm going to Nineveh, a place of exceeding wickedness, that I go knowing that this is your purpose. This is your will. This is your plan. If you have that assurance, If you have that confidence, if you have that peace, then I say don't get on the boat going to Tarshish. Why? Because that represents defiance, deviation, and distance. Take the journey across the desert and go on up to the Nineveh. God got you covered. God, he got your back, and he's going to take care of you. First indicator that you might not be in the will of God, that you're not lining up with his purpose. The second indicator that you are not in the will of God is that it is not accompanied by the provision of God. God's provision was not present. Notice what it said, verse 3. Jonah got up to flee to Tarshish from the Lord's presence. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He paid the fare and went down into it to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God's provision was not present when Jonah decided to go to Tarshish. He had to pay the price. Whenever you are in the will of God, God is going to foot the bills. I remember when I was in Durango, Colorado, and the Lord called me to go to seminary in Lynchburg, Virginia. It was just me, Angie, and Nicole. And I had this grandiose plan, right, that I was going to save up this bunch of money. I was working at a resort as a bellman. I got a lot of tips. And I had this grandiose idea that I was going to save up all this money. And when I hit Lynchburg, I was going to be flowing in cash. You know, I was going to be able to rent a motel for about a month. And, you know, time came. Pastor Glaze hadn't saved a dime. You know, the only blessing was is that the church that me and Angie were a part of, they had a send-off party. And they actually gave us about $400 or $500. And that's all I had, was $400 or $500. But I knew God called me to seminary. I knew God called me to go to seminary. And so I put the U-Haul with everything that we own in this U-Haul. And I took Angie and Nicole down to New Mexico, dropped them off with Angie's people, and drove to Lynchburg, Virginia with $300. $400 at the most, in my pocket. By the time I got from Durango, Colorado, to Lynchburg, Virginia, about $200 of those dollars was gone because of gas. I roll up into Lynchburg with about $200. No place to stay. Don't know how I'm going to eat. I'm going to be honest with you, my brothers and sisters, and I think about it. I had to be the biggest fool in the world. How many people leaves their family somewhere, drives all the way across country, and don't know where they're going to stay at, don't know how they're going to eat? I had to be the biggest fool in the world. But, you know, I praise God because my wife, she was supportive. She was behind me. And this crazy man doing all this, this crazy man driving across country with nothing. Then y'all know the testimony. I pull up, I'm going to seminary. Pastor McFarland, he's in the seminary. And he sees this guy come in, big football looking guy, right? And he came over to tell me, he said, bro, look, you in the wrong line. Yo, the line for the college is over there. I said, no, man, I said, I'm coming to seminary. And he said, where are you staying at? I said, I don't know. And so we got to talking. He said, well, follow me home. So I followed him home, and he said, wait right here in my driveway. And so I waited in his driveway. He went in to talk to his wife, right? I guess he had to break the ice, so to speak. And so anyhow, he came back out, and then his wife came back out, and then one kid came out, and then two kids came out, and then three kids came out, and then four kids came out, and then five kids came out. And they all said, welcome to the McFarland Inn. And so I stayed with him, and I had stayed with him for about a month. And he said, man, you need to bring your wife out here. I said, I don't have any place, to go. He said, man, you need to bring your wife out here. So I called Angie, and we talked, got her a plane ticket. And I don't know, Angie, how long we stayed with them? A couple months, didn't we? It was a couple months that we stayed with them, right? God provides. That whenever God calls you to do something, He's going to pay the ticket. Whenever God calls you to do something, He's going to supply. Whenever God calls you to do something, He's going to give you what you need. Jonah had to pay the fare. He had to pay the fare. I love Hudson Taylor, missionary to China. And two quotes, and I've quoted these before, that have just stuck with me throughout my lifetime of, as far as me being a pastor and trusting the Lord. And he said this. He said, depend on it. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. He is too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds. Let that one sink in. Oh, let that one sink in. And then my favorite one by Hudson Taylor. And I've quoted this on many occasions. On a special occasion during a trying time, he wrote to his wife. She may have been concerned about how they were going to make it, how the finances were going to flow. And he said this. And I love it. I love it. You ought to let this one burn in your spirit. We have 25 cents in all the promises of God. We have 25 cents in all the promises of God. What did you have? Do you have a little piece of the promise of God? Hold on to it. We have this little promise from God and all that God represents. We have 25 cents and all the promises of God. Man. Whew. And Jonah got on the boat and he paid the fare. And he paid the fare. What's something that is an indication that you may not be in the will of God? That God is not providing. That God is not meeting the need. Oh, I'm not saying that there's not times when you go through where things are a little lean and you are wondering, okay, God, where you're at. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about, as you go through, you have the assurance that God is going to provide what you need. When I was in seminary, there was a lady that told me something I'll never forget. She said, sometimes God gives you a string, and he lets you get all the way down to the end of the string, and then he ties on another string. And sometimes God will let you come to the end of your resources. But I like what Hudson Taylor says here. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. He is too wise a God to frustrate his purposes for lack of funds. Why would God frustrate his purposes? He owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Down here, we fight over gold. God throws it on the street and walks on it, right? Why would he frustrate his purposes for lack of funds? Oh, I say it all the time. Where God guides, he supplies. Where he leads, he feeds. And where he directs, he protects. Is God meeting the need where you're at right now? Let's look at the third thing that might be an indicator that you are not in the will of God. It is lacking God's peace. Let me go through these next three slides, and then I want to say something. Jonah 1:4. But the Lord threw a great wind onto the sea. Such a great storm arose on the sea that the ship threatened to break apart. Go to the next slide. Jonah was not in the will of God. Therefore, he did not have the peace of God. He was on the boat asleep. Somebody said, well, it looked like he had peace to me. He might have had peace while he was sleeping, but watch this. What did God do? God disrupted his peace. God, I like that. He rocked the boat. God, I like that. God rocked the boat. He disrupted his peace. Go to that next slide. The word through comes from the Hebrew word tall, which means hurl. Now look at this. You know, I never saw this until I actually got dug down into the Hebrew of the text and studied it. This word means that the Lord handcrafted a storm and hurled it toward the boat that Jonah was on. Oh, he's going to sleep, huh? He's going to the bottom of the boat to sleep. Oh, okay. He got peace, right? He must have took some sleeping pills or something. Fool! God threw it right at the boat. Now, I don't know if the whole Mediterranean Sea experienced it, but we know one place that experienced it. And that's where Jonah was at. And God threw the storm right where Jonah was at. And even the sailors, this storm was so bad that you know it had to be bad because the sailors became afraid. They were fearful. And so what does God do? God disrupted Jonah's peace because he was not in the will of God. If you're doing something that's not in the will of God, it may be through the Holy Spirit, it may be through circumstances that the Lord will speak to your heart and give you an uneasiness. I did a devotion this past Wednesday. The title of the devotion was A Peaceful, Easy Feeling. Y'all heard that song, right? A Peaceful, Easy Feeling. And I talked about how that before I came to Christ, every night I would say my prayers. Now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mommy and daddy, Donald Duck and Goofy and all the rest of them, right? You know, I prayed that prayer just about every night before I went to bed. But you know what? There was no peace in my spirit. I said, if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul. I didn't know where I was going when I died. But I prayed that every night. Then when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, having made peace with God through Jesus Christ. That now, when I lay my head on the pillow, I might be agonizing and be in turmoil about other things, but one thing that I'm definitely not in turmoil about is my salvation. Because I know when I close my eyes in death, I'm going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. And so, if there's something in your life that your peace is being disturbed about, that you don't have this peaceful, easy feeling, could be an indication that you're not in God's will. God will disrupt your peace. You know, the Apostle Paul was on a ship that was wrecked, floating out in the middle of the sea, holding on to a piece of wood. But he had a peace that he was doing with God. What? A broken up ship in the middle of the ocean? And you got a peace? See, he knew he was in God's will. And so no matter how turbulent things were around him, unlike Jonah, Paul had a peace of knowing that he was in God's will. What's another indicator that you are not in God's will? That you don't have peace. There's something that's just not settling right in your spirit. There's something that's just not calm in your spirit. There's a turbulence. Could it be that you don't have the peace of God? And then let me close with this last thing. And that is another indicator that you are not in the will of God is that there's the absence of the presence of God. It is absent of the present, the presence of God. Notice in 1:4, Jonah fled from the presence of the Lord and went, and you know what? When you begin to flee from the presence of the Lord, you go into a downward spiral. Some people say, well, you know what? I don't believe this book. It's full of errors. It's outdated. There's a lot of contradictions. It was written by man. And what are they doing? Moving away from the presence of the Lord. Because God's will is found in this book. And the closer we draw to the principles found in the book, the closer we draw to God. Jonah ran from the will of God. He ran from the presence of God. And notice what happened. From that point on, it was a downward spiral. He went down to Joppa in verse 3. He went down into the ship, verse 3. He went down into the sea, verse 15. And he went down into... It's just a downward spiral from that point when you begin to flee from the presence of the God. And so as I think about it, let me close with this. That to be in the presence of God is to experience the power of God. To be in the presence of God is to experience the power of God. Acts chapter 19, verses 13 through 16. Now some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists also attempted to pronounce the name of Jesus over those who had evil spirits. They said, I command you by Jesus that Paul preaches. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish high priest, were doing this. So here were these priests. They saw Paul commanding evil spirits to come out of people by saying, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I command that you come out of them. The evil spirit, when they did this, the evil spirit answered them, I know Jesus, and I recognize Paul, but who are you? Who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them, overpowered them all, and prevailed against them so that they ran out of that house naked and wounded. The man stripped them of their clothes and beat them down. One man, seven people. Why? Because they were saying that they had the presence of God. But the presence of God was nowhere around. And so Paul, when he did it, he had the presence of God. And so when he said it, the power of God fell upon the situation. And so my point is that when you run from the presence of God, you run from the power.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How to Use the Word of God to Find the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God. That's Anchored and Indicators You Are Doing Something Not in the Will of God from our series, Answering Your Questions About the Will of God. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, Visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, our website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall. You don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.